Get ready. You're about to enter
the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The One, The Only, your home for awesome ideas about the greatest thing that we as man have been able to comprehend. It's about the great idea and concept and potential action known as free will. We're talking about liberty, folks, here at The One and Only Remzo Republic. It's great to be back. Season 2 has been such a blast right now. We've had some phenomenal guests. And what I like about not talking about an election or something is it allows me to kind of challenge myself, kind of go out into the wild blue yonder, if you will, and just talk about things that, you know, not just I'm interested in, but what you, the viewers, are interested in. What I like is interacting with you guys in our private fan group, the Remzo Republic Nation, that you can join any day of the week. But something came up recently. Somebody messaged me and they were like, you know, Remzo, I've been listening to a while. I've been going on your website and I'm just confused. You say that your show's the clash of punk rock and politics, but I've never really heard of a libertarian punk rocker. And I was kind of taken back because as I started to think about that, it's like, well, wait a second. I actually can't name one. And then that led me into a giant philosophical discussion looking at the merits of music and individual creativity and all the other stuff. But that's kind of like what I want to talk to you about tonight. But I'm not going to be the only one to bring this up. Tonight, I've got a special treat for you. I've got the one and only Josh Carter from the Resistance podcast here tonight. Josh, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Going good. I have a quick story for you because I don't think I've told you this before. But for those of you that are listening to us through Liberty.me Studios, who also syndicate the show, this is actually kind of funny. This is a few months back. So because Liberty.me Studio does not actually share data as far as how many listeners are listening on iTunes and Stitcher, the only place we have to go to kind of get an idea of how many people are listening through that platform is through SoundCloud. And Josh, I love your logo. It's the guy with the megaphone and it has him kind of like part of the letter R. That's just so freaking awesome. What somebody did a while back was they actually put your album cover on a bunch of my show's episodes. So I started getting a whole bunch of emails and stuff saying, Remzo, I love the whole R thing with the guy on fire with the megaphone. And I'm just like, what the hell are you talking about? So I go on Liberty.me Studio and I see that and I contact them. I'm like, guys, you gave the Resistance podcast logo to me and you put your logo cover on their show. What the hell? And that's how I learned about your show. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I remember I saw you like the Facebook page one day and I'm like, well, I don't know who this guy is, but, and then you ended up contacting me and that was awesome. So, and I've been able to listen to your show and really enjoy it. I like what you got going on.
Thanks, bro. So, it kind of helped me out here. I was one of those guys back in high school. I was reading Ayn Rand. I was listening to Misfits and Rage Against the Machine. I mean, I like alternative rock. I like grunge. I like punk rock in the mid-2000s in an age where the Bieber fever was everywhere and where Disney was basically owning all the record companies. And because of that, I just got kind of like this independent-minded attitude. I like to say that my journey to libertarianism was through music and independent artists and stuff like that. But something kind of bothered me recently because I always liked Rage Against the Machine. I looked more into their music and what I found out just by Googling, are they libertarian? I found out they were a bunch of freaking communists.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. I've always had a special affinity for Rage, and I like the anti-establishment sort of vibe, but I hate their politics.
Yeah, and it just leads me to this question. Am I living a lie? Is punk rock really just a giant form for communist propaganda? I mean, I like Eric July, but, you know, those guys are new. They're explicitly libertarian, him and his group at Backwards. I know the bass player for Nirvana is a libertarian, but their music wasn't necessarily I mean, I like grunge, but their music wasn't necessarily political in any way, shape, or form. So I'm just wondering, when people say punk rock isn't libertarian or punk rock is libertarian, what's kind of your opinion of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because if you've ever gone on Wikipedia, you know how sometimes you can kind of get lost in clicking in the links, and like 3 hours later you end up somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
Well, I did that one day with like the history of punk rock and basically, you know, how it came about. And, you know, punk is just basically anti-establishment. I mean, they tend to lean maybe a little bit more liberal, but, you know, punk rock it's the attitude behind it. And I feel like nowadays, in the era of big government and expanding oversight and things like that, the individualists, the people who are trying to fight for more freedom, more personal freedom, are the anti-establishment. And so I've always really, when I listen to Rage, even though I know that I disagree with their politics, I've always just kind of viewed it as, you know, it's the attitude, it's the spirit of the music, and I take it and I adapt it. And if it helps me do what I do, you know, and further my personal beliefs, music is a great catalyst for that.
Exactly. And I like that one saying, you know, art can be for art's sake. With a lot of political types and stuff like that, it almost seems as if, I don't know, like you see us with movies, everything is being used explicitly to pass on some type of worldview or political message. And with Rage Against, I think I'm kind of the same way as you, but how do I put this? After learning about who they are and what their music is about, I can no longer just say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to switch that word to mean this, and I'm going to say that phrase actually means this. It's kind of ruined the music for me.
Yeah, I mean, I hear where you're coming from, and I had kind of this dilemma not too long ago when I started kind of having a political awakening, I guess. But, you know, I can still listen to them and still appreciate the passion behind it, the music itself. And yeah, it does diminish it a little bit, but I just kind of take it and I kind of channel it and, you know, put it into something that's productive is, you know, I mean, that's kind of where I go with it.
No, I definitely hear you. And one thing I really like about your show is that I think your tagline is, "We're the new sound of the revolution," or "the new sound of the resistance." Which one is it?
Well, it's the new sound of the counterculture.
The new sound of the counterculture. And that's perfect because, you know, politics is downstream of culture. And when it comes to actually affecting the culture, you know, I think Rage Against, if their mission was to actually promote a progressive communist agenda, then I think that's right. Because if I didn't even know they were communist until someone brought it to my attention, I Googled it, think how many other people are really reading into their lyrics and they're really reading into the message. They're being effective. I used to know most of their songs for their Empire of Evil album word for word. And when I say it out loud now, it's like, holy crap, they got me. They got me. They got me. They got me, a libertarian podcast host, to go out and start talking about seizing the means of production and crap like that. So, I mean, they definitely win, because when it's subliminal, you don't notice it. You don't notice it until you get that little thought in your head saying, oh, crap, you know, maybe you should look a little bit more into this, and then you go ahead and do it. So I'm just curious, in terms of music, because I think, you know, your show and my show, we both have kind of a musical influence, because as Dr. Ron Paul once said, if you can't have a revolution without any music. So I'm just curious, for me, it was grunge, punk rock, and alternative. What were kind of your musical influences? I mean, do you kind of share that connection I do with music leading to kind of like your individualist thought?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in the era of nu metal in the 90s, and it's always been, I've always liked music that is counter mainstream culture, counter pop. And so I grew up with, you know, a lot of I don't know, like Godsmack, POD, Thousand Foot, Crutch, guys like that. Rage Against the Machine, got really into them. Battle of Los Angeles is my jam. The whole album is just, it gets me worked up. It gets me motivated to do stuff. And so it really does play a huge part in in sculpting what I'm trying to create, because I grew up in a music household. So that is really important to me.
Awesome, man. Hey, Josh, we're going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remsa Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
The voice of the Liberty Generation. Remzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
What are they teaching our children these days? How can so many young people graduate and become socialists? Do they even know what socialism is? Kids are learning how to preserve the environment, or are they learning how to preserve their own liberty? How about introducing your children to, I don't know, these fundamental principles that helped create the greatest, most prosperous nation in the world? I don't know about you, but when I become a parent, I'm going to read my kids The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand. A little bit of Narnia, a little bit of Atlas Shrugged, kids are loving this exciting saga about a fantastical land's struggle to be free. Filled with humor and suspense, Kibblestan is a treat for any kid, or even adults. I mean, I enjoyed reading it. It's for anyone that enjoys reading fantasy. But also, it has the added bonus of introducing some basic principles of liberty as it constantly ponders the question, what does it take for a land to stay free? There's even questions at the end of each book to facilitate conversation with your children, including a student group or a book club. The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand is currently available on Amazon.com, or you can visit www.kibblestan.com. Liberty is worth preserving. Are you in? Folks, welcome back to the program. We've got Josh Carter from the Resistance Podcast on, talking about the commies that took over the music industry. So Like you brought up earlier, Battle of Los Angeles, man, I can't go to the gym without starting off with that, with something from that album. And I brought it up earlier, you know, art can be done for art's sake, but sometimes it can have an explicit political message. I think libertarians, I think, you know, conservatives have country, progressives have, you know, most of the entertainment industry. And when it comes to songs about peace, when it comes to songs about individualism, creativity, I've looked more into it because this has been something that really bothers me recently. Whether it's the Beatles, whether it's a lot of the anti-war music from the Vietnam era, I'm just looking out there and I can't find any real explicit liberty-oriented music. Have you?
Well, you mentioned Eric July, which I thought was great because I was totally going to bring them up. I feel like Eric July and Backwards are doing for music for I guess, better political messages, what Rage Against the Machine did for the left. So, I mean, but they're about the only ones that get political as far as, well, in my opinion, of good music. Because I don't really do country, even though I live in Wisconsin. But they're about the only ones doing what they're doing. And I hope they're kind of a flagship band that will introduce this whole new era of, I guess, more right wing politics into good music.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really sad because there are a lot of songs out there which have a very libertarian message. I was not a fan of the movie Selma because living in Alabama for 2 years, actually living like 20 minutes away from Selma, there were some pretty historical inaccuracies of that film, and they tried to tie it in way too much of the current Black Lives Matter movement and everything else. But I really liked that song at the end of the credits by, I think it was John Legend, where, you know, he's just talking about freedom and everything else. And the song is good, but then they bring up the whole hands up, don't shoot, lie, and a couple other things, and they completely ruin it. And I think that causes a problem. And for me, I could probably, like, just put that song on my iPod and just listen to it and just be, you know, inspired by the message of it. But when it comes to just some of those, I don't know, some of those specific phrases, when it comes to some of the political techniques they're using to push out the message, it kind of ruins it. So for other people that want to use music to express, you know, their beliefs and they want to put out their worldview and their message, do you think it's always good to kind of go with the Eric July approach and have, you know, turn a political message into a song, or just discuss, you know, like discuss freedom, discuss creativity, and just have a song around an idea without bringing in some of those political messages into the song? So art for art's sake, if you will.
Well, I think you can pretty much get the message of freedom to conform to any medium. And it really depends on the method that you're going with. And I actually know the John Legend song that you're talking about. I think it's called Glory.
Glory, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, and I had the exact same reaction as you. So maybe Rage Against the Machine is more of a nostalgic sort of thing for me, where it's like I can put aside the message and just still enjoy the music, but more modern stuff now that I've kind of had my political awakening, more modern stuff doesn't jive with me, because like once it got to that point, I was just like, yeah, why'd you have to no, it's such a great song. But it killed it for me too. But I think right now you're just seeing this kind of resurgence of right-wing counterculture, if you will, and you've got all these different types. Like there's no one particular profile of a freedom-loving person. So you get the artistic types and you get like the more analytical types. And I think that's necessary in creating a market for all types of expressions of liberty.
Exactly. And speaking of that counterculture, speaking about, you know, actually directing people to not just change their politics, but to change their thoughts, that's one of the things I really love about your show. So to kind of pivot from this point, I'm just curious, why did you start a show? What makes your show unique? How's your journey been from just being a guy listening and observing the world to wanting to actually have a conversation with listeners across the country?
Well, my show kind of came about because initially I was looking at my buddy Tim of the Tim Price podcast. He wanted to start up a show and have us do it, you know, together as co-hosts. The only problem is we live a ways apart, so that kind of fell through. But he got me set up with a basic podcasting setup. And at the time, I was listening to like a ton of right-wing talking heads like Levin's and stuff like that. And I was getting all riled up and I was like, you know, Obama's doing awful stuff in the country. And, you know, I got to get active. I got to be a part of it. And it kind of lit a fire under my butt to kind of start my own thing. And then as I created my own show, it initially started off with kind of that sort of mentality. And then as I kind of went into the show, introduced some new people, my co-host Bryce, started realizing that the greatest weapon that we have in communicating the message of liberty is discussion and dialogue. And if you don't have that, if you're just sticking to talking points and, you know, towing the party line, well, you're not going to win anybody over. And that's one of the things I like about your show, is because you're really about changing the culture and challenging the culture, or the predominant culture. And I think that's kind of the same sort of track that I take. And it is my ambition to have people of all different views on the show just to have a discussion and be like, hey, where are you coming from? Because discussion is basically the doorstep to understanding.
Exactly. And I think with libertarians, you know, it's really awesome because when I started listening to podcasts back in, I want to say late 2013, early 2014, all you really had was the Tom Woods Show and Lions of Liberty. Both amazing shows, but that was just it. It's just like TV when it was coming out, you know, for the consumer public in the 60s and 70s. All you had was CBS, NBC, and PBS. That's all you had. So when those are your only options, that's where you go. And man, I was always tired of going in the car and listening to Sean Hannity and Mike Savage. I just could not handle it. So that's what pushed me through the door. But I'm glad that we kind of share. We share the same message, but we go about it two different ways while going at the same target, which is put a liberty dialogue into the main culture. And something I'm seeing is there are so many libertarian podcasts out there, and it's awesome. It's so awesome to have just a free market of ideas, and I'm listening to like four or five shows right now, and some are funny, some are super serious, some are full-on ANCAP, and some are literally put on by the Libertarian Party. But what I'm seeing is a lot of people, they don't like – oh, wow. Okay, I like to annoy people. Because when you annoy certain people, you know, the conversation goes on you. And when the conversation goes on you, when people talk about me, that gives me a chance to kind of manipulate the narrative and my problem, my solution, the thing that I want people to listen to. People are suddenly talking about it. And you do that. And I mean, like, let's talk about Jason Stapleton and Austin Peterson. Those guys do that. Those guys are rabble rousers. And they can get people talking about certain things. I'm just curious, with culture, we both understand that that's the only way that politics will ever be affected. If you don't get people to change their minds, they're not going to change their politics. Do you think that libertarians kind of speak in a vacuum sometimes, though? I mean, do you think that they only appeal to a libertarian audience, or do you think that we're getting better at talking to people from across the political spectrum?
Well, I think we're getting better at it. And but I think it's interesting that you bring up the provocateurs of the genre. I think there is a time and a place where provocateurs are necessary, and you need people to say stuff to get people riled up, to basically bait them into a conversation and get that emotional reaction to get some attention to it. But then after that comes the need for dialogue that is constructive as well, and not just to cause emotional reaction. So once you get people talking about the issues that are affecting us, then you need to actually find some common ground and create something from that, you know, is beneficial to as many people as possible. And I think the problem is, and one of the reasons I want to put more time into the resistance is because I want to take that next step and go from the, okay, we had this launching point for discussion, and now let's try to engage as many people as possible, because without consensus, it just becomes about power politics. So I think libertarians are getting better at that, but I think a lot of times it's so easy in the modern age to get sucked into this vacuum, whatever political persuasion you're of. To just start hearing people preach in the choir. And so we need to step outside of our comfort zones and really engage people. And so that's my hope with the podcast.
Now, that's awesome. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to go ahead and finish our final commercial segment and then go on with the rest of the show. Folks, hang on tight. We've got one more commercial break. We'll be back in a moment.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back to the program. Josh, I want to kind of continue our conversation from earlier. I'm taking 2016 as a year to, I'm not going to say necessarily rebrand my show, but I published a blog back in December, and basically what I said was this: I don't want to just be a libertarian podcast. I want to start focusing on other things. I want to start talking about, you know, things going on in entertainment. I want to talk about things that aren't just explicitly political, because the thing about this last election cycle was that just covering current events, it was depressing as hell. And if I want to start to break out to other people, I got to start bringing on people that aren't just libertarians. You know, I had progressives on last season. I had conservatives on last season. This season, man, it's insane. I have everywhere from real life superheroes to comedians to politicians and other stuff. I mean, I like to say that I'm keeping the show pretty varied, but I'm just curious, from one host to another and to other potential people out there that are trying to do something similar to us, do you think it's good to start out with an explicit libertarian message and stick with that, or just do something which gets people to listen and kind of drop in nuggets of, you know, liberty throughout your message? Kind of like Rage Against in their music. Not necessarily be the Eric July of podcasts, but maybe be the Rage Against of podcasts. I mean, how's your approach, and what do you think we should do going forward? Since this is something that isn't just a show, it's a platform for ideas.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm, I mean, my effort is still a little bit of a fledgling effort, and I'm looking at putting more time into it in 2017. So I don't know if I'm the best qualified to give, you know, advice, because you seem pretty established, and I really like what you're doing with your show. I like your Fanboys and Freedom segments. I like the way that you're really trying to engage culture and getting a wide variety of guests on there. And that's really awesome. It's thoroughly enjoyable. I think that what was interesting to me is I started off in one place, and I thought the podcast was going to go a certain direction, and it took a completely different turn than I thought it was going to be as I kind of settled in and started finding kind of I found a co-host that kind of balanced me out, and just it ended up taking a completely different turn than I initially thought, which was the initial concept of it was to be one of the, you know, kind of Levin is like the thunder on the right is his tagline. And initially I thought it was going to be one of those type of shows. But then as I went on, I'm realizing, well, I'm not that type of personality. The personality that I am is the type of person that just likes to have a good conversation. And so the show started to take form around the concept of conversation, and conversation being, you know, resisting just taking everything at face value and resisting just being complacent, but actually trying to focus on developing people's critical thinking and dialogue and engaging different views. So I think the key, I mean, you will always be who you are, and you will have the certain drives that you have toward, we're predisposed toward liberty. that will come out in your message, but you just have to kind of lay back and find out what your style is. And that's kind of the consensus that I've heard from other people on successful podcasts as well, is they just let it be, you know, their natural style.
Exactly. And you've discovered something that it took me a while to get that, because if you go back and you listen to like the very first mini episodes I did to our pilot throughout all of season one, I had kind of that progression as a host, because I'm not gonna lie, I tried to model myself after people who I thought were successful. I thought I was going to be like the libertarian Joe Walsh. I thought that I was going to be, you know, the punk rock insert other popular person here. It wasn't until I realized that I'm pretty just good, decent at being myself, going at it the way that I wanted to do it, that's better. Because if you don't make the type of show that you would want to listen to, you're not going to want to listen to it. You're not going to want to put it on the air, and you're not going to try and promote it for other people to listen to. You're just not going to succeed at that. And I think libertarians, when my parents know who Gary Johnson is, I consider that a good thing. But do you think we have a better reputation amongst most of the American population, or do we have a worse worse reputation?
If you were to ask me that question today, I would probably say that libertarianism, even though it has a compelling message to offer, I would say that is probably perceived negatively at large. And I think this last election, where you had unprecedented unfavorability rates between the two mainstream party candidates, and we still couldn't pull off 5%, you know, and people will say Gary Johnson was a lukewarm candidate. Okay, fine, whatever. But the platform itself should be compelling. And for some reason, it's not. And I think there's a little bit of an intellectual elitism that seeps into predominantly libertarian circles, which I kind of alluded to earlier in the question you asked about if libertarians are kind of living in a vacuum. And I think people need to break out of that and realize that, you know, people don't like to be condescended to. They like to be talked to as human beings. And if you can engage them on the level of a real human being and, you know, someone who genuinely wants something better, rather than coming across as an elitist or an intellectual elitist, if you will, I think that you would see the Libertarian Party making a lot more waves. And once that happens, I'm sure that they will. So I would say that on the whole, they're probably still perceived it's still somewhat perceived as a angsty white boy movement. That's what it is, you know?
Oh my gosh. I've never heard it described that way. I've heard it as the ideology of neck bearded basement dwellers, but wow, that's
even better. So we're still on the negative end of the scale. We got to kind of push the pendulum the other direction, you know,
which is why I think it's perfect. And I think you gave the right answer. What this allows us to do is we can self-identify again, that we remain the resistance. We remain the counterculture. And what that means is that we should be able to experiment, that we should be able to do things that other people don't consider traditional. I think that's great. I think that's what you're doing with your show. I'm doing that with mine. And we're seeing that because I want this to go out to every form of activist out there, whether you're just a Twitter warrior or you're that person collecting signatures for a ballot measure on something. What we need to do is we need to constantly provoke the status quo, and we need to continually try and do new things. We need to think not like what would this party do or what would this person do, but we need to think what would touch our neighbors, what would affect our family, how would we get our friends interested in this. I think that's going to be the best way to do it.
Well, I think you touched on it earlier, too, when you're talking about, you know, when you're talking about current events and how it would get so depressing. It's because by the time something politically gets to be a current event, your response is a reaction to it. And so we have to discover the proactive means of subverting the reaction, you know, and we have to attack it before it becomes a current event. And that's what changing the culture is all about. And so I think you're really onto something with your show and what you're doing there. And I really enjoyed the episode where you had I believe it is the director for Students for Liberty on.
Yeah, we had Alexander McCobin on for the final episode of season one.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great episode, especially when you talked about activism and you talked about, and you made that reference to Moses not thinking he's a, you know, a good leader or whatever. And you just kind of tied it in with everybody has a skill set. Everybody, you can do things like there are people out there that could do web design or even accounting for a business, things that I can't do that can cause an organization to run smoothly and take flight. But, you know, just don't sell yourself short. Just identify those gifts and talents you have and use them to the best of your ability to push the cause of liberty forward. And I think it's all about tapping into that potential.
Exactly. I'm so glad somebody listened to that episode.
Well, I did. So
that's perfect. That warms my heart. Josh, if people want to learn more about your show, they want to listen to the Resistance podcast, how can they do so?
Well, like I said, I'm still a fledgling operation, so I'm pretty basic. I've got a website, resistancepodcast.com. I'm on Twitter if you want to connect with me, @rise_and_resist. And basically, I'm on iTunes and Stitcher if you want to subscribe, maybe drop a nice review if you have the time. But if you just listen to it and enjoy it, I certainly hope that crafting content that is enjoyable. We're looking to really, I guess I'm looking to kind of expand it in 2017, and what that'll look like, I don't know yet, but, those are the basic ways in which you can kind of access the podcast.
Exactly. And folks, if you want to actually, I don't know, read something every once in a while, Josh has written some awesome content over at remsorepublic.com. Go ahead and check him out. He's under Jay Carter there. So someone stole your name on WordPress, asshole.
Well, actually, we figured that out. Remember, it was
It was the username difference.
Name, but the actual public display name. Yeah, definitely. There's going to be more of that content coming for your website, and I contribute to proispodcast.com and the old liberty.me blog. So, I mean, I'm all over the place. But yeah, if you feel like reading some, definitely check those out.
Awesome stuff, man. Josh Carter from the Resistance Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been an absolute blast having you on, brother.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Folks, you heard the man. Go out there and be awesome. Being a counterculture doesn't mean you're just the odd man out. It just means you're probably the only one thinking every once in a while. You gotta remember, less than 3% of the population in the colonies thought that revolution was a good idea. And last I checked, we're not drinking Earl Grey tea and watching the Queen give a speech, unless you're like me and you like Earl Grey tea and you watch a lot of Doctor Who on BBC. But that's not the point. Go out, be awesome, engage the culture, get the conversation going, and be good in your own right at something that you're talented in. And what's something you could easily do to get the message going? Well, you could follow me on Twitter @remso101, leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, TuneIn, all the other places you're listening to us or could possibly listen to us in the future. And go out and be awesome. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?